Welcome to the Forbidden City. Its older name is the Purple Forbidden City. Purple here is not a color. In Chinese cosmology, it refers to the celestial region believed to be the home of the Supreme Emperor of Heaven. The name, in one word, declared what this place was meant to be, one of the buildings on Earth standing closest to heaven. Construction began in 1406, under the Yongle Emperor, the third ruler of the Ming Dynasty. It was largely complete by 1420. Tradition names the chief architect as Kuai Sheng, a master craftsman from Shangshan, near Suzhou. Hundreds of thousands of workers labored on the site. Timber came from the deep mountains of Sichuan and Huguang. Stone was quarried in Fangshan, just outside Beijing. The single largest block had to be dragged in along a road paved with ice. In the dead of winter, workers poured water over the ground to freeze a sliding track and hauled the stone over it inch by inch. Only after the palace was finished did the Ming court officially move the capital from Nanjing to Beijing. From that moment on, 14 Ming emperors and 10 Qing emperors, 24 in total, lived, worked, and held their great ceremonies here for nearly 500 years. The end of imperial rule brought a turning point. In 1924, the last emperor, Puyi, was expelled from the palace. 1 year later, on October 10, 1925, the Palace Museum was founded and opened to the public. From that day, a place that had belonged to a tiny few became a museum anyone could enter. In 1987, it was inscribed on the UNESCO World Heritage List, no longer only China's palace, but a heritage held in trust for all of humanity.
A few numbers will help you feel the scale. The Forbidden City measures 961 meters from north to south and 753 meters from east to west. It covers roughly 720,000 square meters, about the size of a 100 football pitches laid end to end. It has four main gates, the Meridian Gate to the south, the Gate of Divine Prowess to the north, and two smaller gates, East Glorious and West Glorious, on either side. Ancient Chinese city planning followed a principle: ancestors on the left, soil and grain on the right. By imperial ritual, the emperor's ancestral temple sat to the southeast of the palace, and the altar of soil and grain to the southwest. To the ancients, those two things were the true roots of a nation: bloodline and food. Inside, the palace is divided by a single line running through the Gate of Heavenly Purity. To the south lies the outer court, where state ceremonies and the great affairs of government took place. To the north lies the inner court, where the emperor and his consorts lived, and where much of the daily administration actually happened. One side was a stage, the other was an engine room. There is a favorite legend worth knowing. Folk tradition says the palace has 9,999 and a half rooms. The reasoning comes from an old belief that heaven held 10,000 rooms, and no earthly ruler dared to match heaven exactly, so the palace stopped half a room short as a gesture of humility. A 1973 survey actually counted around 8,704, but the word room here does not mean what we mean today. In traditional Chinese architecture, one jian is the space framed by four columns. Think of it this way: if you slept in a different jian every night and never repeated one, it would take you almost 24 years to finish.
You may have heard this about the palace already. The most important halls contain no steel and almost no iron nails in the modern sense. They stand on wood, on brick, on tile, and on a set of structural secrets that Chinese craftsmen refined over more than 1,000 years. How do you raise a wooden palace this fast? The answer is two words: mortise and tenon. Where two pieces of wood meet, one carries a protrusion called the tenon, and the other a matching slot called the mortise. Slide the tenon in, and the joint locks tight, without a single nail. Above the columns, just beneath the eaves, you will see clusters of wooden brackets stepping outward like stacked toy blocks. These are called dogong. The do is a small square cup. The gong is a curved arm. Layer by layer, they push the eaves outward while carrying the weight of the roof down into the columns. Here is the clever part. When an earthquake comes, the mortises shift slightly, the brackets bend a little, and the whole hall moves like a body full of small joints, absorbing the tremor in tiny increments. That is one reason a 600-year-old wooden palace has survived so many strong quakes. The dark, mirror-smooth paving bricks inside the Hall of Supreme Harmony have a name. They are called gold bricks. They are not made of gold. They earned the name for two reasons. First, they came from an imperial kiln village near Lumu in Suzhou. The process ran nearly a full year, selecting the earth, drying, kneading, molding the clay, curing it in the shade, loading the kiln, firing, and at last unloading. Second, a finished brick rings like metal when struck, and its cross-section is as dense and smooth as a mirror. Out of every 100, only a few passed inspection, and only those reached the emperor's main halls. In other words, every brick under your feet is 1 year of patience, compressed into a hand-sized slab.
Now look up at the whole city. Every hall, every path, every gate sits on one invisible line. It is called the Central Axis of Beijing. The axis runs about 8 kilometers, from Yongdingmen in the south to the Bell and Drum Towers in the north. The Forbidden City sits at its exact midpoint. The ancient principle was that the Sun of Heaven rules the four directions from the center. As Son of Heaven, the emperor was seen as the sole mediator between humanity and the cosmos. So he was placed at the geometric heart of the city, an order radiated outward from the spine. With all of this in mind, let us walk the Forbidden City together. One more thing to notice as we go. The great halls sit on square platforms beneath rounded ceilings. This is a direct expression of an old Chinese cosmology. Heaven is round, earth is square. Directions follow the five phases, the five forces of Chinese cosmology: wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. East is wood, south is fire, west is metal, north is water. The center is earth. That is why the North Gate is named after Xuan Wu, the water deity of the north. The roofs are covered in yellow glazed tiles, because yellow belongs to the center, and therefore to the emperor himself. Every color, every direction, connects back to a complete ancient system of the cosmos. Then there are the numbers. The ancients took 9 as the highest of the yang numbers, the ultimate odd number. That is why the door studs on the palace gates are arranged in a 9x9 grid, 81 in all. The emperor was addressed as the 5-9 Venerable. Along the eaves, the small ridge figures, by imperial protocol, must never exceed 9. Only one hall breaks that rule, the Hall of Supreme Harmony, which carries 10. In every stud and every tile, the Forbidden City pressed its idea of absolute sovereignty into the architecture itself.
So when we look at this place today, it is easy to see only vast red and gold. But what really deserves wonder is everything you cannot see at first. A philosophy of wood, a craft of brick, a belief in direction and cosmos. 600 years ago, a generation of craftsmen without computers and without cranes used mortise and tenon, dogong brackets, gold bricks, and glazed tile. And they built, on this piece of ground, an entire Chinese vision of the universe.